Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your crazy, busy life to be with me this morning on my broadcast. Believe it or not, today is Monday, August 3rd, 2020. We're in the first week of August, and wow, how quickly this summer is flying by, and the temperatures are way below normal, and so it almost seems like fall is right around the corner. This morning on the broadcast, I want to focus in on two specific issues, and that is how the Iranian government imprisons, tortures, and treats human beings like chattel. And this morning, I want to focus in on, once again, the government is threatening to execute peaceful protesters from past protests. About a month ago, it seemed like all of humanity stood up with one voice and said no to the three peaceful protesters that this government was threatening to execute. And I saw just millions turn out for this. And believe it or not, the government seemed to back down and change their mind. And again, I say this over and over and over to my critics and skeptics. Petitions can and do work. Governments do listen. I wish it was true all the time, but in this case, they listen. Many of us spoke out, many of us prayed, and this happened. But once again, five Iranian protesters are on death row. They want to execute five young men for participating in the December 2017 demonstrations against the regime. The men were tried in court and given death sentences for, quote, waging war on God. They are mostly from lower classes and workers, and they couldn't even acquire a lawyer and were therefore given lawyers from the revolution courts who work on behalf of the government. That's really helping them. And for the benefit of the prosecutors. These sentences have been verified in the Supreme Court of Iran, and their execution could be carried out at any moment. The men that are sentenced this time are Majid Nazari, Mohammad Bastami, Abbas Mohammadi, Mahidi Salih, and Hadi Kaini. This is continually going on and on again. The government of the Islamic Republic of Iran almost always resorts to torture, prolonged solitary confinement, interrogation without a lawyer present, beatings, electric shock treatment, interrogators standing on their chests, no medical treatment, and then they do the constant forced confessions. They're beaten with batons. They're hung upside down while repeatedly beaten on their legs and feet. This results in broken bones, nails plucked. and threats that their girlfriends and significant others will be raped. In order for that to not happen, you have to give a, quote, confession. And judges of the Islamic Republic of Iran are known to have imposed outrageous sentences, which includes, in this case, the death penalty, lashing, elongated jail terms again and again. So these protesters who were peaceful in the December 2017 uprising, their confessions were extracted under pressure, threats, and torture. And this is unjust and inhumane. It's against every human right law in the world. So I want you to do something. And thank you, Sue, my Facebook friend, for already signing this petition. Go to my Facebook page. There is a petition there from change.org. Take your time to read it. Sign the petition to stop this execution and pray. Prayer is a powerful weapon in this case. And so the petition is on my page. It just takes a couple of minutes to read, and then you can be a voice. Excuse me, boy, having throat problems this morning. And you can be a voice for these innocent, peaceful protesters. There are five of them this time, and they could be executed at any moment. It is imminent. And so I appreciate you taking the time to not only sign the petition, but if you can, share the petition on your page. Share it with your church, your Bible study. Iranians need our voices. They need our voices continually. They need our prayers continually. So let's stop this execution like we did over a month ago. The power of unitedness, the power of humanity, the power of prayer really does make a difference. Now, I want to focus in on today on a specific case. Of a person with a dual citizenship, and her name is Kylie Moore Gilbert. There are many dual citizenship, in other words, persons who have dual citizenships with their one country and the country of Iran. And the Iranian government seeks out these people and puts them in prison and uses them as political pawns. A case in point, Nazanin Ratcliffe, and we'll talk about her a little bit later. But I want to introduce you to a young lady. You may have never heard of her before. Her name is Kylie Moore Gilbert. And I want to share with you her story and what's going on in her life. Kylie Moore Gilbert was tearful, terrified, and unwell inside a Qarchek women's prison before she was forcibly moved from quarantine into the general prison population. That's what sources inside of the jail have said. Detail of Moore Gilbert's condition emerged as friends and colleagues publicly condemned the Australian government's quiet diplomacy strategy, which they argued has failed to help her. So she's from Australia, and she's a dual citizen. The British-Australian academic, who is nearly 2 years into a 10-year sentence in Iran for espionage, was suddenly moved from Tehran's Evin prison to Qarchek. And if you know anything about Qarchek, it is a horrible hotspot of rape, murder, just injustices. Her voice was heard on a tape player, and she said, quote, "I can't eat anything. I feel so hopeless. I am so depressed." She was initially placed in Qarchek's quarantine section as a week-long COVID-19 protection for all inmates. Now, there has been many inmates released because of the virus, but there still remains far too many in prison. And she was moved after 2 days now into the general prison population, and this further cuts off her access to a hostile world. And she was trying to write a letter to the Australian ambassador to Iran to visit her urgently when she was moved. And she's been physically ill while she was even held in the quarantine section. After one meal, she became sick. Kylie was terrified of the officer. She left me in tears and anxious, one of the sources said. Here's her story. She was arrested in Tehran in September 2018 and convicted in a secret trial and sentenced to 10 years in prison on charges of espionage. Again, this is the same type of charge brought against Nazanin Ratcliffe, that she came to Iran and she was a spy. And they invent these charges so they can use them as political pawns. Now, again, just like with Nazanin, there has been no evidence of these alleged crimes that have ever been publicly presented. And, of course, Kylie denies the allegations against her, and the Australian government rejects them as baseless and politically motivated. Korchak Prison has a reputation as one of the most hostile prisons in Iran. It was only last month that the United States Department listed Korchak as an entity responsible for extrajudicial killings, torture, and other gross violations of internationally recognized human rights. Now, in a phone call with Razor Khandan, who is the husband of jailed human rights lawyer Nazrin Satuta, Moore Gilbert said she felt hopeless and isolated. And The Guardian, which the article I'm reading for, had heard a recording of the call. "I don't have any phone card to call," she says in Persian. "I've asked the prison officers, but they didn't give me a phone card." And last month, she was able to speak to her parents. In Korchak, prisoners are regularly strip searched when they're moved. It's violent. There are diseases in this prison. It is a horrible place for anyone to be. In fact, my good friend Mary Mohammadi, who I wrote about in my book, spent an entire month in this prison, and she said it was horrible. So this is what's going on for Kylie Gilbert Moore. Now, the Australian government says she is the highest of their priorities. And they have maintained a strategy of quiet diplomacy with Tehran. And they're using diplomatic channels. But many of her colleagues say that this quiet diplomacy has failed. Kylie has spent nearly 2 years in prison and has been treated worse than any other foreign national currently held in prison in Iran, despite Australia and Iran having enjoyed what they can claim is an unusually strong relationship over the course of many decades. Her situation has gone from bad to worse, and again, she's committed no crime. But this is how they treat dual nationalists. Now, there has been some progress in her case, and I want to share that with you, just from a few days ago. Iran will now allow an Australian ambassador to meet with Kylie Moore Gilbert. He is going to be able to talk with her, and in fact, the report here said that she was supposed to be meeting with him on Sunday. And again, he says her case is one of the Australian government's highest priorities. And he says we hold Iran responsible for safety and well-being. In December of last year, the U.S. State Department again spoke out about the conditions in Korchak prison. And so here is a little background on the person I'm talking about. She holds, like I mentioned, a dual British and Australian citizenship. She's a fellow lecturer in Islamic studies, focusing on politics in the Arab Gulf states. And so she's a lecturer, and that's her job. But again, she has been charged with spying for another country. The dual nationalists, those with dual citizenships, always run into these problems. And last Christmas, she participated in a hunger strike in the name of academic freedom, saying, "We will strike on behalf of all academics and researchers across Iran and the Middle East who, like us, have been unjustly imprisoned on trumped-up charges and simply doing their job as researchers." Now, She also wrote, "We are striking not only to demand our immediate freedom, but to ask for justice for the countless thousands, unnamed yet not forgotten, men and women who have suffered the same fate as ours or worse and have been imprisoned in Iran having committed no crime." So good news, the ambassador for Australia is visiting with her, and I will keep you updated on what progress they made. But once again, I'm pointing this out. We need to be a voice, not only for the protesters that are on death row, but for a person like Kylie Moore Gilbert. And all you need to do is go to my Facebook page and sign the petition and be a voice for Kylie and pray for her safety, pray for her freedom. She is like Nazanin Ratcliffe in there being in prison as a dual nationalist, a dual citizenship from Britain and Australia. Nazanin, hers is from the UK and Iran. But this is how this government does to these people that have dual citizenships. They use them as political pawns. So please spend some time and be a voice for Kylie Moore Gilbert. Go to my Facebook page and sign the petition. With all that's happening in the world, with this pandemic, with the economy, just the constant tension, the violence, the anarchy, the injustices, the racism, most of us just want to find a cabin in the woods to get away. And lots of us, you can hear us say, "Leave me alone. I can't take this anymore." Stress. The stress of raising a family, the stress of holding down a job, the stress of a complicated relationship. It's stress, stress, stress. The world is having an anxiety attack, and most of us are desperately trying to get away just for some relaxation and a little peace of mind. But I have a question for you this morning. Where do you find your peace of mind? Remember, in the 60s, the hippie movement chanted, "All we are saying is give peace a chance." Unfortunately, most of the young people experimented with marijuana, LSD, and other mind-altering drugs in the 60s. And the anti-authority, anti-government movement of the 60s really did little to achieve peace. Instead, like today, there were riots, suicide, murders, and protest rallies that ended with arrests and really very little peace. So that didn't work. And so many in that movement decided, well, you know what? I'm going to tune in, turn on, and meditate like the people in the East. So instead of being addicted to dangerous drugs, people turned to the East for yoga, for transcendental meditation, in search of a peace of mind, well, only to discover that the results were really artificial and not long-lasting. So what have we learned from the turbulent hippie movement of the 60s? Have we really learned anything? The road to peace was a dead end. So now, where do you find a real peace of mind? Well, let me try to answer that question for you. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the night before his crucifixion, Jesus made a promise to his fretful and worried disciples. His disciples were really much like us. They dealt with real life issues that were filled with stress. But Jesus, realizing in a few hours he would experience the agonizing pain of being nailed to a cross for our sins, what did he do? He spent the last hours of his life comforting his stressed out followers, and he made them a promise that would transform their lives and really our lives in any situation. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus did not say, "Empty your minds, sit in a lotus position and meditate." No, Jesus did not promise a superficial solution to the anxiety and the stress all around them, what Jesus did promise was his peace would guard and comfort their lives in the midst of stress, anxiety, and tragedy. He did not promise to remove all the trials of his disciples and all the obstacles of their life. Look, they became martyrs. They died for following Jesus. But what he did promise was that his peace would give them an inward, settled assurance that he was with them in the midst of the pain and the suffering. They would have a conviction, a trust that in the midst of real suffering, his peace would sustain, strengthen, and comfort their troubled hearts. That's what his peace does. It doesn't remove all of the trials necessarily and all the problems, but gives us an inward conviction, a settledness, a strengthening, and comfort to our troubled hearts. Well, how do you experience that peace? Very simple. Have a love relationship with God through Christ. When you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, your fellowship with God is restored, and your broken heart of sin is healed. And this is the kind of peace that the world needs. Every other pathway will only lead to more stress. And this is a song that talks about that peace from Wayne Watson, "The Peace That Passes Understanding." Let's listen right now on "The Cross in the Desert." That is Wayne Watson. And the peace that passes understanding never passes away. It's based on that wonderful promise by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 27. And this is a peace that has sustained me. In the 40 plus years that I've been a Christian, I have encountered many trials, just like you, many situations where stress seems to just suffocate you. And I have remembered this beautiful life-transforming promise from Christ. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And it has sustained me and strengthened me and settled my heart in many difficult situations. And I can just say with experience and with gratitude that this is the peace that the world needs. It's a peace between God and man. It is a peace that comes after confessing Jesus as Lord, believing that he died for our sins and rose again. It's the peace between God and man that changes the world, because that's where the hostility is. That's where the sin problem is. We're in rebellion to God until we make our peace with him through accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our rebellion leads to death. And there is no peace, the Bible says, for the wicked. There is no peace for those that continually rebel against their Creator. But there is a peace that passes understanding, all understanding, when we invite Christ into our heart as Lord and Savior. There is a genuine reconciliation, a genuine restoration in our heart and in our mind. The battle is over. It's time to throw down the sword. You've been looking for truth in all the wrong places, and there is no peace for you. But I promise you, when you come to Christ and throw down the sword and stop the rebellion and stop the searching and embrace Christ as Lord and Savior, there is a peace that will flood your heart and mind, that will carry you throughout the rest of your life, an inward assurance that all is well with my soul now. You see, it's that simple. But it's hard. If you insist that my way is the right way, I will live life as I see it, there will be no peace for you. I promise you, it will be a life of anxiety and brokenness. But when you come to Christ, you will find the peace that passes all understanding. You will find the forgiveness and the grace that you can find nowhere else. And so this morning, I've been sharing with you that life-transforming peace that is found in Jesus, and I hope that you will find it in him. Please go to my Facebook. Please sign the petition for Kylie. Please sign the petition for the five protesters on death row. Please share them. Be a voice for Iranians. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Have a great week.